following took place on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Texas, USA.
Earth. Adam and Danny here with you all over the place, though. I'm over at Toyota Center. Danny's over at Bubba's. And now we're out in Austin as we bring in Peter Bean from BurntOrangeNation.com. Talk a little Longhorn football. Took care of the first six games of the season, the last of which, of course, came the Red River Shootout against the Oklahoma Sooners, winning 45-35. The next six, probably much more difficult than the first six, even with Oklahoma in that front side. Missouri, Oklahoma State, Kansas, Texas Tech, and Texas A&M will all be there on the other side. Peter, good to have you with us. How goes it this week?
Well, you're right. It's not going to get any easier. But, you know, the question with this team, you know, we talked about it this summer, was not if they were going to be a great team, but when. And I kind of thought it would be November before we got there. But here we are, Texas, the top-ranked team, and they're going to have every chance to prove it. Missouri, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, all in order. Plus a trip to Kansas, waiting down the line. This is a great, great time to be a Longhorn fan.
Probably find out a lot about Kansas this week as they go to Norman, but with the Longhorns, it sounds like a lot of the players this week are doing two things. One, pretty much dismissive about being the number one team in the country. Yes, it's fantastic and all, but it doesn't matter in October. It matters at the end of the season. And two, it sounds like they are taking the Missouri loss last week as something that turns Chase Daniel and the Tigers into as hungry a team as possible coming into Austin. Is that about right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, they're saying all the right things. You know, the one thing you worry about, though, is, boy, you sure heard him say it a number of different places. I saw Mac Brown live on Thursday Night Football. Jordan Shipley was on ESPN. Colt McCoy on ESPN. So then all of the national media, Texas was the team, you know, they had the mantra. We were flying under the radar. Not anymore. And, you know, so you can say, you know, all the counts is what happens from here on out. But, you know, it's, when you're the number one team and you win a game like Texas won last week, you're going to get the attention that it's impossible not to ignore. And, you know, the perfect example of that is Missouri last week. You know, they watched Texas beat Oklahoma, and I think they knew what was waiting for them in Austin the next week. And, boy, you see what happens. You can try not to think about it, but it's hard to get out of your mind.
Well, nobody's come on the scene and been more thought of as a savior than Will Muschamp as defensive coordinator, and nobody's been more of a whipping boy than offensive coordinator Greg Davis quite a long time. But what we saw last weekend, I think, surprised a lot of people, not only watching the game, a lot of Texas fans, but also we've seen some comments from Mark Mangino about he was surprised what Texas was doing offensively and how creative they were and doing some unexpected things. Do you expect to see that type of play calling from Greg Davis the rest of this season?
Well, you sure hope so, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because Greg Davis has deservedly many times, especially in the Red River Shootout, taken a lot of flack. And last week we really saw a terrific game plan from him. He did a lot of the things that we talked about last Friday night, spreading the field four wide, exploiting Oklahoma in the middle of the field where they're weak. And you have to give him credit for that. He takes the blame when the offense struggles, and he deserves a lot of credit for what we saw last week. Going forward, you know, the big worry now is, what will Greg Davis do? You know, I think last week he was probably motivated a little bit by, you know, we've got to be aggressive to have a chance here. Now you kind of worry about him going into safe mode, and Greg Davis in safe mode is when he's in trouble. So that's what I'll be watching for heading forward.
What do you make of Missouri's secondary? This week you brought up on BurntOrangeNation.com that they really laid some pretty big hits on Dez Bryant a week ago, but there are only six teams in the nation giving up more yards per game through the air than that Mizzou squad.
Yeah, well, first thing, as you mentioned, they're big. You know, they average about 6'1", 210 pounds. They got two guys that are probably going to play on Sundays. They're healthy now, and I watched that Oklahoma State game three times. They absolutely drilled Dez Bryant on four or five occasions. He's a tough kid for getting back up, I'll tell you. Yeah, and Missouri is, you know, they have given up a lot of yards. So is the Texas secondary. The better stat to look at for these teams is yards per attempt. And yards per attempt, both secondaries are much more respectable than the yards per game. You know, for the Texas secondary, part of the reason that they're allowing so many yards through the air is you can't run on this team. You know, for Missouri, I think they can be run on, and Oklahoma State did a really nice job of presenting a balanced attack and passing off of the run. And I think that's something that Greg Davis would be real wise to take advantage of. Looking at that tape, you could see Oklahoma State use a series of run plays to set up big pass plays, and I think those are there. Those safeties like to come up. They will help in run support. They like to lay big hits. You can use that aggressiveness against them. They're not, you know, they're big guys. That means they're not the fastest guys. Jordan Shipley has a great double move. I wouldn't be surprised to see him spring a big one on a double move. That's certainly something I'll be looking for. And also maybe a trick play or two. Remember that free flea flicker we saw against Bryce? Don't be at all surprised if we see Greg Davis pull that out this week.
Talking with Peter Bean at BurnOrigination.com about the Texas Longhorn football team, and I don't care who Chase Daniel is and what he's capable of, there's no way the Texans Longhorns are going to face a better passing quarterback than they just saw against Oklahoma, but he is very good in his own way. But to me, I think there's a strong possibility that you make the case that each of the other skill position spots might be better. Oklahoma gave up on the running game pretty quickly, so it didn't matter if DeMarco Murray or Chris Brown were any good. Washington might be better at Missouri. Chase Kaufman might be better than Gresham, and the way they use him is probably going to hurt the Longhorns more. And Jeremy Macklin's one of the most explosive guys in the country. Do you think those three skill guys should be of much more concern maybe than even what the great skill position guys for Oklahoma brought to the Texas defense?
Well, you make a great point about what Texas faced last week, and I was so impressed with Sam Bradford, and he played a great game. But I think what we saw from Will Muschamp is you're not going to beat him over four quarters if you're a one-dimensional offense, and I think that has to be the big concern for Missouri. Oklahoma State last week made Missouri one-dimensional. They only had 80 rushing yards. They more or less gave up on it. Chase Daniel is not left-footed. He'll make some plays with his feet, but they could not get anything going with Derek Washington. Well, you know, they tried a little bit, but they did not stay committed to it. It's going to be even harder this week against Texas, and I don't think you can beat Will Muschamp's defense just by passing the football. And, you know, skill position-wise, I don't know. As great as Missouri is, I'd say it's a draw with Oklahoma. Jermaine Gresham is, I think, the best tight end in the league, even counting Chase Kaufman. Manuel Johnson is just as explosive, not quite as talented as Jeremy Mackley, but as much of a big play threat. And so I think Missouri's going to have to watch that Oklahoma game, and if they're wise, they're going to have to combine that with the lessons from the Oklahoma State game, and they're going to have to commit to running the football against Texas. But that's a tall order, and their offensive line really struggled with Oklahoma State, and I suspect it's going to be an even longer evening against Texas. So that's got to be your big worry as a Tiger fan, and that for me is why I'm feeling pretty good about this game right now. Is Texas defensive line is playing, I'd say, as well as anybody's in the country, and that's what you have to disrupt what Chase Daniel likes to do. He gets the ball out so quick that if you can get pressure from your front four, then you're able to defend what he likes to do.
Two things you mentioned there. One, the offensive line of Missouri, I think they've only allowed four sacks on the season. Two of them came last week against Oklahoma State. Was that a function of just the offensive line just having a bad night, or was it really exposed by the Cowboys, particularly the redshirt freshman they have at left tackle?
Yeah, you mentioned the left tackle is a young player, and I thought more than anything, Mike Gundy had a great game plan. He brought an exotic array of blitzes, and the other thing Oklahoma State did really, really well is they tackled at the line of scrimmage. And you know, Chase Daniel runs that off. He can run it blindfolded. He knows exactly where he's going. He'll get the ball out quick. So, I think they'll probably try to protect that offensive line by leaving Derek Washington in the block and continuing to pass the ball quick. So, you know, one thing Texas fans are going to want to watch early for is, are the Longhorns tackling? And we know Rod McElroy will, but how about the secondary? How about those young guys? Deion Beasley has not tackled well this year. Ryan Palmer's out injured, so there's going to be more young guys out on the field. You guys got to wrap, got to hit those Missouri players, stop them from the big play, make Missouri drive down the field. If you can do that, I think this Missouri offense is containable. If you miss some tackles, off goes Macklin, off goes Kaufman, and Missouri will put 50 on you real quick.
Is facing Chase Daniel a bit more of a challenge for this defensive line to pressure because he can scramble effectively while Sam Bradford pretty much just stands back there in one spot?
You know, I was a little surprised. Bradford was a little bit more mobile than I expected, but Daniel will make some more plays with his feet. But he's just kind of a playmaker to begin with. But I think if Daniel's running around for his life, and I think Will Muschamp will be fine with him making a few runs with his feet, because unlike Sam Bradford, Chase Daniel does not throw very well on the run. And if you saw it, two of his interceptions last week came when he was running out of the pocket. I thought Mike Gundy did a great job bringing pressure up the middle, making Daniel move with his feet. And when he's throwing while moving, that's when he finds trouble, and Oklahoma State took advantage of it.
Peter Bean from BurntOrangeNation.com joining us as he does every Friday at 6:20. One more thing. We saw the complexion of OU's defense change when Ryan Reynolds went out a week ago, and another tough linebacker for the Horns to deal with in Sean Weatherspoon. Where are the strengths of Missouri's D?
Well, you know, I think up the middle. You look at their safeties and you look at Weatherspoon, and their tackles are not bad football players. I think again the key for Texas will be to create some space, spread them out. We heard this week that Fozzie Whitaker will be back. We've heard that before, so who knows? I'm a little more worried about the offense actually than I am the defense. And one of the things I'm worried about is that big secondary and Witherspoon and the size of Missouri, and their physical defense a little bit underrated. What happens if Shipley or Cosby gets popped real hard, or God forbid Colt McCoy? Injury to any one of those three, and it's not clear that what Texas would do after that. So that's a real strength for Missouri, and I expect they're going to be real aggressive. They're going to be fired up. They're going to want to lay some wood and send a message to Texas. And if they can knock one of our players out of the football game, Texas will have themselves a real fight.
Oklahoma State pulling off the big upset in the Big 12 a week ago. Texas, to a far lesser extent, also winning. Anything on the slate of the six games this week that you would call an upset in the making? It certainly doesn't appear that will be the case.
I actually like all the favorites this week. I think the game I'll be watching kind of closely down the line to keep an eye on is Kansas. I'm not totally clear what to make of them yet. They're not running the football very well, but Todd Reesing runs that pass spread as well as anybody. And if Texas should win the next three, and that is no sure thing, then they'll. Horns get Baylor at home, but then they go travel to Lawrence, and that would be the trap game that I'll be watching to see if the Jayhawks are capable of pulling off.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in the Big 12 North. Obviously, the teams in the Big 12 South still boasting three undefeated teams, Tech, Oklahoma State, and the Texas Longhorn. Well, obviously, they'll see each other before it's all said and done, so we'll see how it all shakes out as they begin second half of their 12-game regular season schedule. Peter, we always appreciate the time. Look forward to doing it again next week. BurntOrangeNation.com, the website. Peter Bean with us here on Sports Radio 610. Thanks a lot, Peter.